During my time at Marymount, when I was the campus chaplain and teaching religion there, the Gulf War came about back in 1991. So the students were very anxious, of course. Some of their relatives had been called up to service. Even some of the students themselves, who were in the reserves, had been called up. So I decided to have a prayer service every night during the time of this war. We actually started the week before during the time of mobilization. And so the whole chapel was packed with students because of the anxiety. Well, as the weeks progressed, this chapel was pretty well full every time we had our little prayer service. Well, at the conclusion of the war, thankfully, none of our little Marymount community was affected as far as someone dying or being injured. So I thought it'd be good to have a prayer service of Thanksgiving. So we had it. And only a handful of students showed up. And I thought, it's exactly what happened in the gospel. Jesus cures 10 lepers, and only one comes back to give thanks. First, a little background. Remember, back in the time of our Lord, leprosy was the most dreaded disease. To have leprosy was to have a death sentence. There was no cure. So when someone was diagnosed with leprosy, that person was immediately banished from the community. His home, all his belongings were burned to prevent the spread of contagion. If he came into the village, he would be stoned to death. If he saw someone who was clean coming towards him, he had to shout out, "Unclean, unclean," as a warning. So these 10 lepers are desperate. They approach Jesus. How they heard of Jesus, we don't know. They probably heard, though, that he was performing miracles. And for the Jews especially, they probably remembered the prophets foretold the Messiah would perform these kinds of miracles. Our Lord cleansed them. He said, "Go show yourselves to the priests," because then the priest would officially declare this person clean, and that person could come back into the village. Well, my brothers and sisters, when we think of this gospel passage, we have to ask ourselves, are we as grateful as we should be for all that God has done for us? The Christian attitude has to be an attitude of gratitude. Consider that God has given us our very life. God willed each one of us here. Each one of us has a purpose, no matter who we are. We should be so grateful for the very gift of our life and the opportunities that we have in life. Moreover, we have the life of faith. So God has given us this tremendous gift. How grateful we should be to say we have faith in a God who loves us, not a God who says, "Submit, submit, submit," but rather a God who loves us. This love has been perfectly revealed to our Savior. Each time we look at that cross, we see that love of our Savior who died for our sins and rose to give us the hope of everlasting life. How grateful we should be. I would encourage you today, take some time, just on your own, have a sheet of paper and write down all that you are grateful for. Grateful for your life, for your spiritual life, your faith, grateful for your families, for your material things, whatever it may be. Keep that in mind, because so easily, poor victims of original sin, we can become ungrateful. Yes, ungrateful. We let one little thing cloud our whole perspective. We let that one thing we don't have become almost like the spiritual leprosy inside. It's sort of like how the little moon can, because of distance, eclipse that huge sun at times. So we let this one little thing make us so negative, complaining, instead of seeing all of the good that God has given to us. We need to be mindful. So, my brothers and sisters, when we slip into this ingratitude, we need to remember what God has given. I've known people that, because of one little thing, have said, oh, my life's miserable, and so on and so forth. I'm like, if you think your life's miserable, go down to Walter Reed Hospital and talk to some of the servicemen who've come back without limbs. Then tell me how miserable your life really is. And it's what we make out of life. For instance, yesterday, Father Farrell took the youth group again down to King's Dominion by popular demand, and it was raining, and a complainer, an ungrateful person, could have said, oh, God has made it rain. What are we going to do? It's ruined our day, and so on. They had a great day. There were 100 people in the whole park. They could ride the rides without waiting. They could ride them as many times as they wanted to. They could have extra time at Waffle House. Father Farrell came back exhausted, but he was grateful. He was so happy. And all the kids were happy. It's what we make out of life. But the ungrateful person really is a selfish person, a very self-centered person. Ingratitude then breeds envy and jealousy. Ingratitude breeds greed and anger. And worse yet even, it eventually leads to that whole selfish sense of entitlement. Like in our gospel, St. Luke specifically mentions 9 of those lepers were Jews, 1 leper was a Samaritan. Well, the Samaritans were like a corrupt form of Judaism. They had been infected by paganism of the time. So the Jews considered them worse than heretics, like pagans. But it's the Samaritan who came back to give thanks. One would have thought it would have been the 9 Jews. Maybe the 9 Jews thought, God owes us this. We're the people of the covenant. This is the Messiah. He's supposed to do this for us. Isn't that the way an ungrateful heart works? I think one of the worst problems in our country, really the root of the problems in our country, is ingratitude and the sense of entitlement. For instance, it really makes me itch when I see these athletes who are making millions of dollars throwing a football, kicking a soccer ball, dribbling a basketball, batting a baseball, and they can't stand for the national anthem. I'm like, go try and be an athlete and make millions of dollars in China or North Korea or Russia. Then maybe you'll be grateful. Or I think of so many college kids who go off to college, and being a campus chaplain, I saw it, and they waste their parents' tuition money. And yet now some of our politicians say everyone should have free college tuition, and it's like, well, who's going to pay for that? If you want a free college tuition, get a job. Pay for it yourself. If you want a college tuition, go join the military. Get your GI Bill. Don't have your hand out. Who said you're entitled to it? You have the opportunity. Do it on your own. Or I think of some of these puffed up celebrities that say, well, if this person wins the election, I'm moving to Canada. Please go. I would love to see Oprah Winfrey and The View in Saudi Arabia or Iran. I'd love to see them be puffed up celebrities there. Go figure. Ingratitude. But the challenge for us is to have a virtue of gratitude. And that begins first thing in the morning. When we wake up, we should offer some kind of prayer. Mother Teresa, recently canonized, began each day saying, Jesus, thank you for giving me this day to serve you. How beautiful. I have my own little morning offering, and I say each day as I begin my prayers through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you, Jesus, my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I offer them for the intentions of your Sacred Heart, the poor souls in purgatory, the conversion of sinners, and the reparation of my own sins. And then I go through my list of loved ones, family members, and so on, and I mention each one by name. Good way to start a day. That's what I hope you all do too. Start having a little morning offering. Then as the day unfolds, be mindful of the blessings of God. Don't give in to the little moon that eclipses the sun, the little problem that makes everything else miserable. Think of the blessings. For instance, when you go to the Giant Store, Safeway, Wegmans, the new Harris Teeter, have you ever paused and said, "Thank you, Lord. Look at the abundance of food I have. People in India don't have these supermarkets." Or the United Nations released a report and they said 750 million people on this planet do not have clean drinking water. Or 2.5 billion people do not have access to adequate sanitation. Have we ever thought of when we turn on the tap, "Thank you, Lord, I've got clean water"? Imagine, we could really be so grateful for so many things. George Foreman, the great heavyweight boxing champion, who was sort of like a hero when I was growing up, had told a great story. He said, "My kids don't know anything about not having. They don't know what it's like to open a refrigerator and see nothing inside." He said that one time he was sitting down at dinner with his 8 boys, and they're all named George, makes life easy. So his 8 boys, and the boys just dug in to eat. And George said, "Wait, boys, let me tell you a story." And he told them a story about how when he was their age, sometimes he would go to school without a lunch. He had a brown paper bag. He blew it up to make it look like it had something inside, but he had no lunch. He hoped that maybe one of his friends at school would share some food. Sometimes he thought, "I wish I could have had the food that this kid's throwing out right now because he doesn't like it." So with all of that said, he said, "Boys, let's thank God now for our food. I never eat without saying a prayer." Consider that. Grace at meals is a beautiful way to pause throughout the day to thank God. If you're going out after this Mass, maybe to a restaurant, or even just at home, I hope you pause and you pray. If you do go to the restaurant, don't be afraid. We don't do something for show. But to pause, to make that sign of the cross and pray is a great witness. But it is important because it is an act of our own gratitude. Parents, I hope you teach your children gratitude, because too oftentimes kids in our world don't know what it's like to not have anything. Teach your kids common courtesy. Teach your kids that if they have allowance money or even earn money, give back to God. There's poor boxes at our church. There's our collection. There's our food drive. There's so many opportunities, but it's about giving back. Giving back helps us to be grateful. And then at the end of the day, pause and give thanks. Maybe you had an awful day. We all do at times. But we could still say, "Thank you, Lord. You were with me. I got through it. Tomorrow's another day." I guarantee you, though, that as St. Paul said, for those who love God, everything works out for good. So even if you had the most miserable day when everything went wrong, maybe a month later on, you'll look back and say, "You know, there were a lot of blessings in reality that day." So my brothers and sisters, let's be Christians that have that attitude of gratitude for all that God has given. Give thanks each day throughout the day. The grateful heart is a happy heart. The grateful heart is a heart that's peaceful. A grateful heart is united with our Lord. So as we continue our Mass, let us truly lift up our hearts and give thanks. May God bless you.